The six Haynesboro Assembly candidates debate local issues, and we take a look at an Alaska moose hunt happening south of Haynes. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. Haynes voters have six candidates to choose from for two open seats on the Borough Assembly. The candidates gathered for a KHNS forum this week. One thing that connects the five non-incumbent candidates is a sense of dissatisfaction with the way the current assembly operates.
If we spend the money, we need to use it and follow through.
Judy Erickson is a bookkeeper at Haynes School. Not surprisingly, her campaign is centered on better budgetary decisions. Borough spending is an issue for Leonard Dubber as well.
I will look at every dollar like it's my own. I'm pretty frugal with my own.
But the laundromat owner's main goal is to shrink local government and uphold public accountability.
And it's easy when you get in power and you want to get something done and somebody's in your way to walk over them. Well, I don't think that's right.
One of Tom Morfitt's major priorities is to make Haynes a better place to live year-round.
I think our community slogan is like Jungle Gym of the North or something, Adventure Capital of the Arctic or something. You know, let's provide that for our locals. You know, I think if Haynes had the energy it has in July, in January, would there be any problems here?
The newspaper publisher's proposal is to fund year-round recreation programs by cutting the police department to three officers.
We're over-policed. You know, we're no longer a brawling mill town. We're mostly artists and retirees. They don't pose that much of a threat. What's our biggest crime? Breaking into the library? If we had real criminals in this town, they'd be breaking into the bank.
But Assembly incumbent Diana Lapham says the limited number of Haynes officers leads to burnout and turnover. The candidates were asked about the turnover that's plagued the borough's two top jobs, manager and police chief. Here's Lapham.
It's not because Haynes is eating the managers. Every one of the managers have left for a reason. Not because any of the public has driven them out of Haynes.
Heather Lendy says the manager issue is one of the reasons she decided to run.
The assembly now has twice hired managers, and we're a manager form of government that have no municipal experience.
Haynes' most recent manager was Bill Seward, a retired Coast Guard veteran. Seward started the job this summer. Before him, former Marine David Sosa was manager for about a year and a half.
I think we could maybe do better if we looked a little closer to home for either the candidates or for the expertise in hiring someone to fit Haynes, because we're a kind of community that requires a certain Haynes expertise, not just a professional expertise.
Erickson says she's had experience working with lots of different bosses in a short period of time. Haynes School has had three superintendents in 3 years.
And you kind of have to just find their strengths and try to build on those and hopefully convince them, yeah, not to come to town and just try to save us from ourselves. It seems to be what they want to do. They know more. They're from down south. We don't know anything. And they kind of go through that period, and then reality kind of hits them in the face, I think.
Ryan Cook agreed. The commercial fisherman pointed to Manager Seward's attempt to pause the small boat harbor expansion project within about a month of starting his job.
As soon as he walked in the door, he wanted to pull money out of the pulled, stopped the harbor. He wasn't even here a week. He didn't even know what Haynes was about.
Cook sees the harbor expansion as crucial to improving Haynes' future.
I think everybody in the community just needs to get together and look at the whole waterfront and see how much it actually is used.
When asked how the controversy over the project could be placated, Cook pointed to Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan's efforts to gather public input on Phase 2 of the project. Phase 2 will deal with uplands development.
If we're not going to get what we want all in the first phase, every project comes in phases. If there's not going to be any docks, I think it was Petersburg sat for 5 years or something without floats in it before they found the funding for the floats. But the uplands is where everybody wants to make it look good anyway.
Lapham is also a proponent of the harbor project. She admitted the process for phase one may have been lacking.
Phase one was probably done with all of the right intentions, but done wrong. Our code was very vague. We just had it was a number of problems all dovetailing together.
But LAPAM encouraged people to give feedback on phase two.
The harbor in phase two needs your input, all of your input. And I really think we're going to have a beautiful harborfront.
The about $20 million first phase of the project includes a steel wave barrier, dredging, and creating the expanded parking lot. Manager Seward recently delayed the phase one bid deadline from September to October, so the two newly elected assembly members will have a say in bid selection. Lendy objected to LAPAM and Cook referring public input to phase two.
I guess it's disturbing to me that now the borough leadership or that Diana, now we're saying, oh, everybody can talk about phase two. We can talk about the uplands and, you know, where you want to plant trees or whatever. I think that's a distraction from the bigger issue, which is the price tag.
Lendy, Erickson, Dubber, and Morfitt all say the assembly should involve the public more in the estimated $37 million harbor project. Here's Morfitt.
I don't think it's ever too late to ask the voters what they think. And I don't think any honest person is afraid of a vote.
Morfitt proposes an advisory vote to get a pulse on what the community thinks about the major components of the project, and that the borough should use that input going forward. Candidates were also asked about whether they support an expanded cruise ship industry in Haines and if they agree with the assembly's decision to reduce docking fees as a strategy to lure more traffic to the town's port. Most of the candidates were dubious of the moorage waivers.
They're an industry and they should pay their way like we all have to do in our own businesses. The city doesn't come by and say, oh, Leonard, we don't want your sales tax this year. We want to help you in business there.
Erickson said the few $1,000s cruise lines are saving on moorage fees could go a lot further in Haines' pocket.
$14,000 in Haines is a lot more than it is to a Royal Caribbean or Holland America. I mean, that's like a blip. I mean, that's like nothing. So it's even kind of offensive that they would even take it as far as I'm concerned. But
all of the candidates support more cruise ships coming to town, but not too many. Morfitt said he didn't want Haines to become a, quote, gift shop ghetto like some other Southeast cruise ports. That was one thing all the candidates could agree on. Moose hunting is over in Haines after an especially rapid harvest prompted an early closure. But the hunt in Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cake is still going. It finished its first week and hunters have reported taking 23 bulls in the area. Hunters have 5 days to check in a harvested moose, so that number could increase slightly. 23 moose in the first week is considered average, according to Rich Lowell, the area wildlife biologist. The harvest is down from last year when hunters took 34 moose in the first week. But last year was the second highest harvest on record. According to Lowell, last year's harvest was fueled by a strong early season showing from the Stikine River, which contributed to a high season total of 106 moose. The Petersburg area moose hunt has antler restrictions, and Lowell says two of the 23 moose taken so far this year are not legal. That's about 8% of the harvest, significantly less than last year. Of the 34 moose taken in the first week last year, 7 were illegal, or 20% of the harvest. In 2009, moose antler restrictions were liberalized in the Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cake hunt to allow the harvest of bulls with 2 brow tines on both antlers. Since then, the annual harvest has ranged from 68 to 109 moose, averaging 92 per year. The average harvest during the first week is 24 bulls. Lowell says, in general, most bulls are killed during the first half of the season, and the success rate typically declines as the season progresses. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.